My guest this time is Bonner Cohen, senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. The group spent the past several months vigorously urging President Trump to reject what they consider a timid plan from Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to reduce federal monuments. Those are land designations that supporters say are needed to preserve pristine natural resources, and critics say are a stranglehold on economic development far away from any supposed national treasures. On Monday, Trump signed off on the Zinke plan and reduced the amount of monument status for the Grand Staircase Escalante and the Bears Ears lands in the state of Utah. Those monuments were designated by Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, respectively. And Bonner, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Let me just read a little bit in some of the language here from the USA Today story on this. President Trump departed for Utah Monday to announce what could be the largest rollback of federally protected lands in history. Trump's decision would mark an unprecedented use of presidential power to shrink the national monument designations made by two of his predecessors. And it goes on to use language suggesting this is a major, major rollback. The position I know from talking to your colleague R.J. Smith a couple of times on this is that you largely believe Zinke's plan was headed in the right direction, but not aggressive enough. So what do you make of Trump's actions today, and what do you think the impact will be?
Well, first of all, the USA Today article has one thing quite wrong. There's nothing unprecedented about a president shrinking national monuments. It has happened 18 times before, including by President Woodrow Wilson, who shrank a national monument that had been created by Theodore Roosevelt. So the president has the power to do this. And it has been done before. Now, what President Trump has just done is he has pushed some of the timidity that we saw in Interior Secretary Zinke's initial proposal. He has shoved that aside, and he has reduced the size of the two monuments in Utah far beyond that which Zinke originally proposed. And I think that's an important first step. But I also think it's important for us to realize that this is just a first step. There are other national monuments that were created in recent years, mostly by President Clinton, Bush, and particularly Obama, that are gigantic national monuments that were created with precious little, if any, input from local affected communities, and were created for the sole purpose of putting these lands completely off limits to any economic use whatsoever, to the detriment of the local communities. Let's not forget that national monuments were set up in the Antiquities Act of 1906.
That's right.
Which was enacted to protect Indian sites, primarily sacred sites and sites of archaeological significance, from plundering, from poaching, and the kinds of things that were sadly quite common back in those days. Those under the law, the monuments are to occupy the smallest pace compatible with protecting the site in question, not the gigantic 1.9 million acre sites that were created with the Grand Staircase Escalante under Bill Clinton in the 1990s, and the 1.35 million acre National Bears Ears National Monument that was created under Barack Obama. So what was originally designed to protect sacred sites and archaeological sites was transformed into a land use law that essentially creates wilderness areas without the consent of Congress.
Bonner, you mentioned that you believe this is just a start, but is that the way the president sees this? Is there more to come on this? Is Zinke still working on it? What's going on with the follow-up?
Yes, I believe there is more to come. I know that the White House has come under a lot of pressure, and the National Center for Public Policy Research is one of the groups that put that pressure on them. We circulated a letter a few weeks ago and have around 40 different groups around the country urging the president to go much further than Interior Secretary Zinke originally was prepared to do, and either eliminate altogether or shrink other national monuments. So one of the most egregious there is not in the West at all, but it's in northern Maine. It's the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument. What's particularly frightening about that is that is the only national monument that began as private land. The land was sold to the government, and then Obama made it into a national monument. Now, the federal government of the United States already owns between 30% and 35% of all the land in the United States. It is the country's largest landlord. It doesn't need any more land. It can't even maintain the land that it has, whether it's national parks or wilderness areas or BLM land or what have you. Adding more private land, taking that land off local tax rolls, and taking out of any kind of economic use whatsoever sets a terrible precedent. So I sincerely hope, and I have reason to believe, that other actions will be taken in the not-too-distant future, meaning in the next few weeks. And I believe what we saw today will be the first of several steps the Trump administration will do in ending the abuse of the Antiquities Act.
Bonner, if you look at reaction from Trump critics today, they're seeing this as an extremely aggressive move and something that is setting us back on the environmental stage a great, great deal. So how should we interpret the rhetoric we're seeing on both sides of this?
Well, the hysterical reaction on the part of environmentalists and their allies in Congress was, of course, completely predictable. These are the people who are perfectly willing to see the federal government use powers that cannot be found in any statute anywhere to lock up land in perpetuity. And these people are perfectly delighted that the federal government owns an enormous amount of land throughout the western United States, 83% in Nevada, 63% in both Idaho and Utah. And as a matter of fact, they would like to not only expand the amount of federal land owned in the west, they would like to move that model back to the east. As far as their claims that this is all going to lead to plunder, this is complete nonsense. Many of these lands do, in fact, contain very valuable natural resources, which is precisely why the Clinton administration and the Obama administration created them in the first place. The goal was to create an artificial shortage of natural resources and to limit Americans' access to their own very abundant natural resources. We're not just talking about oil and natural gas. We're talking about precious metals and other things. And so, yes, the reaction, of course, is hysterical. It's exactly what we expected. And frankly, it's a sign that Trump has done the right thing. Now, what we really would like to see him do, and I think we can expect him to do, in keeping with the pledge that he made last April, that he wants to end the abuse, the many abuses of the Antiquities Act, and further scale back these really obscenely huge national monuments.
You mentioned in passing that being designated a national monument means that these lands are not accessible for economic ways to the people who live there. So you mentioned that all of this, except for in Maine, was already federally owned even before they were designated monuments. So Talk very briefly, if you can, about what can and can't be done on these lands compared to other federally owned land that does not have this designation.
Yeah, it's a very key question. Once a land has been designated as a national monument, that means all economic resources there, be they precious metals, be they oil, be they natural gas, be they anything else, are off limits. They are de facto wilderness areas. Now, we already have wilderness areas in this country. over 11 million acres. And under the Wilderness Act of 1963, Congress and Congress alone can create wilderness areas. The environmentalists, working hand in glove with the Clinton administration and the Obama administration, found a way of using the Antiquities Act, turning it really on its head and getting something that was originally enacted to protect Native American sites into a gigantic land use instrument that is itself a de facto wilderness designation, circumventing Congress in the process and also circumventing the will of local communities who are rarely ever consulted about any of this.
Bonner, we'll be watching to see if the president continues down this path. Thanks very much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much.
Bonner Cohen is senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.